Blog Talk Radio.
And friend, the Sand Tiger, DJ Southeast Vince, coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina. And this is Black by Color only on CNM Radio. On this show, I'll discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully, you'll get something from this show. And if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect, or I'll push the kick button and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat-free program. You're listening to Black by Color only. Well, hello, everybody out there. Hope today finds you doing well. Welcome to another edition of Black by Color Only on CNM Radio. If you would like to call in, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And you can call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter, but I will give you a word of warning. Please be mindful of the aforementioned curse of the fruit bat. If you come in here with excessive profanity, gaslighting, character assassinations, ad hominem attacks, random insults, trolling, things of that sort, anything to come in and disrupt this program, you will prompt me to push the kick button and you will be unceremoniously booted off of this show. Okay? I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me, but please be agreeable when you come on to this show, okay? We can be adults here. We don't have to act like a bunch of sandbox, sand-slinging children in here, okay? So keep that in mind. Anyway, last week, I very reluctantly canceled the show, you know, and like I said, it's for a personal reason, but I really did not want to cancel the show last week. Matter of fact, you know, I want to try to reduce how many times that, you know, I'm absent from this program, because I really do believe I have a message to get out there. And I want people to be able to, you know, hear my take on things that are going on in the world. Not that I'm that important or anything like that. I'm not trying to make it sound like that I know all the answers or anything like that, because I don't. You know, I don't know everything, and I don't want to pretend that I know everything. But, you know, I just feel like it's very important to hear a variety of voices about what's going on in the world today, and then we can come up with our own conclusions about what is going on. But one thing I will tell you about this program, what I'm always going to try to do is be about the truth. And I know I have a lot of opinions. Everybody has their opinion about something. Everybody does. But I want to be as faithful to the truth as is possible. I don't care what your politics is, or I don't care what your politics are. I don't care what your religion is or anything like that. All I'm about is the truth, because the truth supersedes all of that stuff. Your religion, your politics, you know, your personal beliefs and everything. The truth stands above everything. Like I said before in this show, you can't break off a piece of the truth. You can't sand it down. You can't crush it and give a piece to this person and that person and whatever. The truth is always going to stand. The truth is harder than a diamond. And you're not going, no one can monopolize the truth. I can't monopolize it. Nobody else can. You know, I listen to people and they say things like, well, you live in your truth. No, I don't own the truth. The truth is universal and it's for anybody to pick from. So when you say, well, that's your truth, but this is my truth. No, no. It might be your point of view. It might be your opinion, but that doesn't necessarily mean that because you believe it, that that is the truth. And see, we got a lot of people in the world today. They think because they believe in something and they believed in it for so many years and someone comes and gives them a contrary, you know, point of view, you know, they feel like they're being attacked. They feel like they're insulted because, no, this is what I've always believed. This is what my mama taught me. Well, your mama taught you a lie. Your mama taught you a lie. Oh, don't talk about my mama. Don't talk about my mama. Well, no, I'm not saying that in any way to disrespect your mama. But if your mama told you a lie, she told you a lie. And the truth is here to expose the lie. That's what the truth does. And see, the Bible says men avoid darkness because they avoid the light because it exposes their dark deeds. They don't want their dark deeds to be exposed. They want to continue in what they've always believed, whether that belief is right or wrong. And like I said, when I come on this program, I'm not here to be a voice for the conservatives or the Republicans or the liberals and the Democrats or the libertarians. I'm here to be a voice for the truth. I don't have a political axe to grind. Even though I will talk about politics, I will talk about the disparities in each of the political parties and things like that, but I'm not a political person. When I first registered to vote, I registered as an independent. Because I want people to know that I hold to my point of view, but I want my point of view to be backed up by the truth. Now, if my point of view isn't, I should be man enough to say, you know what? I was wrong here. So I'm going to change my point of view so it can line up with the truth. And see, not too many people want to do that. They take their belief as a part of them. They feel when someone challenges their point of view that is wrong, they feel like something's being ripped or torn from them because, you know, this is what I've always believed. But I don't care if you believe what you believe for a minute or for 5 decades. When the light of the truth shines on your belief system, you need to drop your opinion and follow after the truth. But people avoid the light because their deeds are dark. And they don't like the light shining on their deeds and say, hey, dude, you know, all this that you've been saying is wrong. What do you mean it's wrong? And a lot of people, they won't do the corresponding research and study to say, okay, I hear what he's saying. Let me check this out. They won't do that. And It's called cognitive dissonance. When you are exposed to the truth, when you know the truth, but you still want to follow the lie. And the only way you're going to follow the truth, you're going to have to approach life with an open mind. And that's what I do. I try to have an open mind. And I'm getting some interference in the background here. I hope it doesn't distract from the show. But a lot of people don't have open minds. The very people that say they have an open mind, they really don't have one, because, you know, when you tell them, you know, hey, this is wrong, instead of them saying, okay, I hear you, let me go and check this out, they turn on you. Oh, what are you telling me? You think you know everything? But these are the people that say that they're open-minded. I see it all the time. They're not willing to listen. They're not willing to hear a person out, but they'll just attack that person. They attack the messenger. They don't attack the source of the message. They attack the messenger. And I get that so much whenever I interact with people on a day-to-day, on whatever is going on in the world today. When I tell black people, your problem is not the white man. What do you mean it's not the white man? The white man, they stole us from our land. Were you stolen from your land? Were you? You were born here in the United States. How were you stolen from your land? Stole you from your land? Well, the white man is always holding us back. Look at the gentrification and look at our schools and, you know, that we don't have the same opportunity. You have the same opportunity that any white person does. But because of your own mental and intellectual laziness, you've fallen behind somewhat and you want somebody to blame. And so the white man makes a convenient scapegoat. The white man is the reason why black people live in projects. Okay, so tell me about the black men that don't live in projects. Well, that's different. No, it's not different. Tell me about the black men that don't live in projects. And see, when you back them into a corner, they start to slash and swipe at you like a grizzly bear because they don't have an answer. They think they do, and they want to affirm in their own minds that, hey, I know the truth, but they really don't. They don't know what the truth is. A lot of them wouldn't know the truth if it slapped and spat on their face. They don't know what the truth is. And the only way you're going to know the truth, you have to have an open mind. I'm not saying that your mind needs to be open up to all ideas. What you're going to get is a chimera when you do that. You know, you ever heard of that mythical beast called a chimera? Had the head of a lion, tail of a snake, body of a goat, I think it was. You're just going to, basically, when I say that, you're just going to have a whole bunch of confusion. But you have to know what is true and what is not true. That's why, you know, before I came here on CNN radio, I called this broadcast the True Sharks radio broadcast. And I'm still going to do that. I'm going to open up a podcast, and we're going to talk about some of the things I talk about on this program and some other things, you know, and I call it True Sharks Podcast. But you're not going to find the truth unless you approach life with an open mind. Okay. Our search for the truth has to do with two things. One of two things. It has to do with an open mind, and it has to do with common sense. And as you all are probably familiar with, common sense isn't too common today. Some things are just common sense. That's how you find, the truth. But like I said, there are a lot of people, they don't care about the truth. It cramps their styles. It messes up their game. Follow the truth. And so when you ask them certain questions, they'll get the dance like Michael Jackson. They'll dance around your question instead of giving you a straight up answer. And then you say, no, no, yes or no. Yes or no. No, I'm getting to that. No, you're not getting to it. I want a straight answer. Yes or no. You're not getting to anything. Because if you were getting to the answer, you would have given me the straight up answer that I was looking for. Do you believe this? Well, what do you mean by believe? Because, you know, yes or no. Simple. Simple thing to follow. But they want, a lot of people, they just want to get to intellectualizing everything instead of giving a simple answer. And then that's when the character assassinations and the ad hominem attacks and the gaslighting, that's where all that stuff start coming in. Well, you think you know better than it. No, I don't. Well, you don't read. You don't know how to read. You don't study. You don't know history. And the very people that accuse you, that throw these accusations at you, they're 10 times more guilty than you are. Of course, we all know what the big news was last week. Last week was the monster known as Ian, the hurricane, came through and just devastated Florida. And they're starting to say that this was probably the most destructive storm in Florida's history. It's already ranked number 5 for its intensity. But they say it may be the most destructive storm in Florida history. And so you got all the pundits out there, the so-called journalists out there talking about, oh, this is because of man caused global warming. Now folks, when I was coming up, I used to read a lot about disasters like hurricanes and earthquakes and things like that. And once again, the very people that tell you you need to look at science and you need to look at history, seems like they don't do it themselves. Because when you look at history, the hurricanes have not gotten more intense over the years. They really haven't. When I tell them about the 1900 hurricane that hit Galveston, Texas, and killed maybe as many as 6,000 people, that was in 1900. You're not going to tell me man caused global warming did that. Or the hurricane known as the Long Island Express from 1938. That hit Long Island and the New England states. Providence, Rhode Island was under 9 feet of water. 1938, one of the most destructive hurricanes to ever hit Long Island. Probably the most destructive hurricane to hit Long Island. Or the Labor Day hurricane that hit Key West, Florida, which was probably the most intense hurricane to hit in the United States. Or hurricanes Camille and David and Allen had nothing to do with man caused, but they want to say, yeah, this is man caused global warming. And see, because we got a lot of ignorant people out there who don't read, who don't study, who don't understand this stuff. They'll sit there and believe what these so-called journalists tell them. And see, what I know about these hurricanes is a combination of history and science. And then people, you know, they want to politicize everything. They want to get up there and talk about, yeah, Ron DeSantis. Now he's listening to Noah. He doesn't believe in science. Now, and nothing that happened with that earthquake, that I don't know why I keep calling it an earthquake. Nothing that happened with that hurricane last week had anything to do with what Ron DeSantis did. To hear a lot of people talk about it, you think Ron DeSantis sent the storm to Florida. I don't know. Maybe he did to get rid of all the black people. I don't know. But they make it like Ron DeSantis is responsible for all those deaths of those people. Because, you know, he's a Republican. He's a conservative. And you know conservatives, they don't believe in science. And look at all that destruction that happened. That's because of him. Ron DeSantis had nothing to do with the destruction from that hurricane. Hurricanes have been hitting the United States for centuries. The establishment at Jamestown in Virginia got hit by a hurricane. Gonna tell me that was caused by man caused global warming. But see, the powers that be are depending on us to be stupid and to be dumb. That's why they don't want to educate us, because they want to feed whatever rhetoric they want us to believe without us questioning what they're telling us. Because they have made themselves the lords over us. They have made themselves the gods over us. We don't need God because we are God. And a lot of us, we follow hook, line, and sinker. We don't read, we don't study, we don't research. And that's why it's so easy for us to take something at their word. We get some eloquent, good-looking journalists sitting on that TV screen eloquently. And we sit there and we listen to them and we're just caught up in how they look and how they speak. And we think they are telling us the truth when they are not telling us the truth. They've been trained to deliver the news, quote unquote, with a straight face. A lot of times people say, you know, look me in the eye and tell me that you know, these guys, they can look you in the eye and lie just as well as some people can tell the truth. These people, folks, you got to understand something. When you are looking at the news, when you are listening to these journalists, you need to take it with a grain of salt. You need to understand what is going on. What's up, sis? Yahweh Kai 7 in the house. You need to understand what the news reporters, what their agenda is. Purpose is not to give you the truth. Their purpose is to give you the news. And however way they deliver that news to you, that's what they're going to do. Because they realize it's a certain kind of power that they have. They know they can get you to believe a certain thing and get a certain reaction out of you. And if they get that certain reaction out of you, guess what? Their ratings go up. And you know what comes with the ratings. Your ratings go up, people get paid. I think the Bible describes it when it says the love of money is the root of all evil. Some people say money is the root of all evil. That's not what the Bible says. Money in and of itself is not evil. It's the love of money. They love money so much, they'll do anything to get it, including cheat and lie. Like I said, these people are not about the truth. Most of them, 99.9%, I don't know, maybe that figure is a little too high, but 99.9% of journalists do not care about the truth. And my problem is with so-called Christian people who fall into these same traps. They heard it on the news and they believe it. I was talking to a brother the other day about the Duke rape case. You all know about the Duke players who were accused of raping that stripper back in 2007. And the thing that got me about this brother, he had never heard of it. I said, dude, this happened 15 years ago. You never heard of the Duke rape case? He said, no, I never heard of it. And I told him about what had happened. These white guys were accused of raping this black girl. He proceeds to tell me, say, well, if it was black guys that had raped a white girl, they would have treated this thing differently. I said, no, they wouldn't have. He was like, yes, they would have. I said, give me an example. And he comes and tells me, well, this and this. I said, no, give me a specific example. He said, I am giving you a specific. I said, no, you're not. You're not giving me a specific example. You're going into some diatribe trying to tell me what's going on. And you're not giving me, I want a specific example where if a black person had done that, they would have treated him differently. We follow the rhetoric. We let the talking points, we let the narrative dictate our belief system instead of saying, okay, I hear what is going on. But let me check this out. You can tell them about when you compare a case of Tony Tempa and George Floyd. You ask them, have you heard of Tony Tempa? Oh, no, I never. Who's Tony Tempa? Back in 2016, I believe it was in the Dallas area. Tony Tempa was off his meds. He was feeling it, so he called the police. The police came, and when everything was said and done, Tony Temple lay dead in the street with a policeman's knee in his back. The policeman's knee was in his back for 14 minutes. And not only that, the police officers were sitting there joking about him. The police officers went to trial, and guess what? Every last one of them got off. But fast forward a few years later, 2020, and we get the case of George Floyd. Policeman put his knee in George Floyd, in his back. Well, he didn't put it in his back. It was on his neck. No, it was in his back. And which wasn't a good look for the police officer. You know, George Floyd wasn't going anywhere. And George Floyd was not killed by the police officer's knee. Just so you know, he was not killed by the police officer's knee. But we went into a tizzy. We gave George Floyd sainthood. Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. And the narrative is that they wouldn't do this to a white person. But I just described it to you. And I guarantee you, I can describe it to anybody about what happened to Tony Tempa, and they will totally forget it. No, that doesn't fit the narrative. Well, I never heard of it. You can always tell when people are moved with emotions because they always have zero facts. Exactly. Exactly. And Tony didn't make the news because he didn't fit the narrative of the left. Yeah. And people still forget. You know, you can say Tony Tempa, you can mention his name ad nauseum, and people still forget. Daniel Shavers, unarmed white man, shot and killed in a hallway of a hotel. Oh, we don't hear about that. You know why? Because our so-called journalists, that doesn't make us, that's not a story. Story about a white cop killing a black person. Yeah. That'll stir up them fires of racism. And we'll be out there with our cameras. Hey, y'all, look at what's going on here. Man, I tell you, I can just see our ratings going up and our paychecks, our pockets getting heavy with that green paper. We're going to be eating a lot of delicious dollars tonight. Hey, bring it, boy. Oh, yeah. And we don't know that the media is using us. They're using us as pawns to get their way. They don't care about, they do not care about the well-being of people. Now, like I said, with the exception of a few, they really do not care about our well-being. Yeah, bring it, boy. The media said it did that, yeah, that killed Floyd. They said that Floyd was killed. Floyd was not killed by Derek Chauvin's knee in his neck. And two, when he got convicted, he was convicted of both manslaughter and murder. How in the world can you be convicted of manslaughter and murder? And then that same day that Derek Chauvin was convicted of murder, had another incident. I forgot the young lady's name, but it was a bunch of black folk fighting. Police were called. Young lady wanted to pull out a knife, about to stab this other lady, shot her dead. Y'all didn't have to shoot her. Really? She was about to stab this other lady. And once again, it was a white cop. And of course, you know, a white cop can do nothing right when it comes to an interaction with a black person. Was watching this video the other day. I need to get my stuff together. You know, I'm gonna do this when I do my podcast. Was watching this video. This other lady, I think she was a member of city council or something in a certain city. She got pulled over because her lights were out. She wants a fuss with the police officer, telling police officer, "Well, my lights went out while I was driving, and they just went out." I think she was lying. And she going to go up, come up there and say, I'm scared right now. Y'all just pulled me over because I'm black. Now, I'm pretty sure the police officers could not, because it was dark outside, they couldn't tell if she was black or white. They just knew her lights were out. Y'all just pulled me over because I'm black. Oh, they loved it. Oh, man, they love to throw down that race card. Hey, I'm black. I get off. Slam down that race car. Boom. Slam down that race car like we slammed down that draw four in Uno. Bam. This is my wild card. Bam. Yeah, it did. But you still got people still saying that, you know, that the police officer shot that girl because she was black, you know, but she was about to stab another black woman. Nobody looks at it like that. And yeah, don't you check your lights before you drive at night? I've never had a light go out on me while I was driving. But, you know, she was trying to make an excuse. And she probably could have gotten by. If she had, you know, and see, this is what happens. And I believe the reason why this happens is because, you know, we see these sensationalized stories on TV. Black person gets pulled over, and then we want to fuss at the cops and everything. We're trying to evoke some reaction out of the police officers so that they might do something stupid. And then bing, bang, boom, ha, another racist case on the news tonight. And I think that's why I don't think black people are really scared of the police. They say, oh, I'm scared. I'm scared. I'm so scared. No, you're not. No, you're not. I think you just want to evoke an emotion from the police so you can get sympathy from Black Lives Matter. That's my opinion. You want to get up there, fuss, and everything, and then when the police do something, it could go on the news. You could say, see, I told you them police officers were after us black people. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there aren't racist white officers out there, but they're very few and far between. But as long as we can get in our time-traveling DeLoreans and go back to the 50s and the 60s and bring those incidents up to the present time, we're always going to be talking about white cops and black people and black. We enable black people to not take responsibility for their actions. Yahweh Kai says, always keep a Blue Lives Matter hat in your front seat just in case you make a mistake and stop by police. Politely answer questions and you may end up with just a warning. You might be telling the truth there, though, sis. You might be telling the truth there. I haven't been pulled over by a police officer since 2013. And the reason why I got pulled over, because I was speeding. And speeding, I didn't notice the police officer parked at a gas station. And by the time I saw the police officer, I was like, oh, gosh. And he started moving. I pulled over to the side of the road before he even put his red and blues on, because I knew he had caught me. And sure enough, I pulled to the side, had them red and blues. Came up and said, sir, you know why I pulled you over? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was very cordial. He wasn't like, I want to fight a black person today. No, he was very cordial. My wife can tell you, because my wife was in the car. That's the embarrassing thing about it, was my wife was in the car. I didn't like that. But he did his thing. Boom, boom, boom. Said, where are you going? You know, I said, I'm going home. Yada, yada, yada. Gave me a ticket. That ticket cost $172. Now you can understand why I haven't been pulled over by the police in 9 years. But I was in the wrong. I knew it. I didn't cut an attitude with him. And he was a white police officer. I didn't cut an attitude with him. I don't even think he interacted with us for 10 minutes. Didn't cut an attitude with him. But I had to pay that bill because I knew I was guilty. That's why I pulled over before he even turned his lights on. I pulled right on over and said, oh, you know, he caught me. And see, when he pulls out on the road and you see him behind you, you're like, okay, I hope he just goes by. I hope he goes. He turned them lights on. I was like, oh, I ain't getting out of this one. I don't know. It might be Bring It Boy. It says it was what your wife was saying to make you get caught for speeding. But shoot, I was like, But I think the reason why a lot of people fuss at the police like they do is because they see this mess on TV and they just want to cause a scene because they want someone on their side that the police act up and do something contrary. That's what happened with Sandra Bland. And people still want to say Sandra Bland was murdered by the police. She murdered herself. She killed herself. And you actually had people say, well, why'd they put a trash bag in her cell? Like, they were like, I think this girl want to kill herself. So let's put this trash bag in there and let her kill herself. And you had some people saying that when they took her mugshot, she was already dead. Where you get that from? No, she was caught changing lanes without her turn signal. She wanted a cop attitude with the cops, escalated the situation. And I do think the cops may have handled that situation a little bit off key, but she escalated the situation. She gets pulled into the jailhouse. Instead of owning up to her actions, she wanted to kill herself. Crazy stuff. Stupid stuff. But we look at these. And we say these are examples of the oppression of black people in this country. And I want to say to all of these people who say that, I say, first of all, you need to speak for yourself. Because one experience by a black person is not all of our experiences. It's not all of our experiences. So you need to speak for yourself, because it's not happening to all of us. A brother, a sister. It's not happening to all of us. What is wrong with being respectful when a police officer pulls you over?
Man, that police officer, he pulled me over and he had his gun. He had his hand on his gun.
Well, maybe the reason why he had his hand on his gun, because his experience with a lot of black people, they want to pull out a gun themselves and start shooting when a cop comes through their window. Never thought about that, did you? Because we all act like black folks are just these innocent people, don't do anything wrong, and the evil police just descends on us and gives us trouble. And like I tell people, you need to speak for yourselves. Now, I don't know everybody's experience with the cops or anything like that, but I'm willing to bet that most of these cases that I hear about, people say, yeah, the cop pulled a gun on me. He probably didn't even pull a gun on you. He probably walking in his hand just swung by his gun. Oh, he got his hand on his gun. Oh, I'm going to get killed. Drama kings and drama queens. Maybe that's where they get that thing that black people are kings and queens from. And folks, I did not mean to get on this subject today, but it was something that I saw that was very interesting yesterday. Was it yesterday or a couple of days? It may have been a couple of days ago. You all know that, what's that girl's name? Cori Bush. I forget which state she represents. Cori Bush. She's the girl, she's the woman that got up there one day when people were telling her, you know, they were getting on her for spending $70,000 for her own security, but she's against guns. I was listening to her the other day, and I said, you got to be kidding me. She described what happened to her when she went to an abortion clinic. She said she sat there, she thought about it, and she said, you know what? No, I don't want to go through this. But the doctors performed the abortion anyway. And I'm sitting there listening to this, And I'm like, you got to be kidding me, because she's one of the strongest proponents for abortion in this country. And you got people going around talking about, oh, it's the woman's choice. It's her right to choose. It's her right to. Well, you didn't get a choice, did you? You said you didn't want the abortion, but she, but the doctors still went in and butchered your baby. And you still support abortion. This is the type of stupidity that ticks me off. And then people will hear that story and they will still support abortion. And they will still get out there and talk about, oh, it's the woman's choice. It's her choice. It's her choice. And I'm sitting there listening to this thing. I said, well, son of a gun, you've got to be kidding me. But she still supports abortion. She's still a staunch supporter of the political party that supports the murder of babies. And you know why they can get out there and say this stuff? You know, because they know their constituents will say, wait a minute, but you didn't have a choice. You know why? Because a lot of people who support the Democrats, the liberals, and forgive me if this offends anybody, but they're stupid. That's why they can come out and, you know, just be out there, put their stuff out there wide open and everything, because they know they're not going to get the, what do you call it, flashback? They're not going to get the blowback from their constituents. Because their constituents are stupid. I hate to say that. I really do. I hate to say that. I really hate to call anybody stupid, but really, a lot of people who vote for the Democrats, you have one belief system, but you vote for a bunch of people who don't support that belief system. You say you're against abortion, but you vote for people who support it. You say you're against homosexual marriage, but you vote for people who support it. Does that make sense to you? Doesn't make any cotton-picking sense to me. You know why? Because a lot of us who call ourselves Christians, we're just as stupid as the people we criticize in the world. Jesus said the children of this generation are wiser than the children of light. Because we fall for the traps and tricks just like anybody else. We're supposed to be the light of the world. We're supposed to be called out. We're supposed to be separated. But yet and still, we fall for the same tricks and traps that everybody else does. When I saw that with Cori Bush, I said, you got to be kidding me. She talked about how she, you know, she said, no, I don't want to go through with the abortion. They went through with it anyway. And she still supports abortion. It wasn't her choice. And I was reading a stat one time that 64% of women who have an abortion, more than half, they don't choose to have that abortion. I read an article about a man in, I believe it was Baltimore. He was stepfather to these two girls, molested them. Whenever they got pregnant, take them to the abortion clinic. And you know the abortion clinic didn't say, these girls are a little young. Why are they pregnant? Nope. Mm-mm. Why are these girls pregnant? Kind of like that case of that 10-year-old earlier this year. They were talking about, this girl, you know, because they're getting rid of abortion, she had to cross state lines to get an abortion. As if abortion is essential health care for a woman. but it ain't health care. It's not health care for the baby. And you see, what's his name, Gavin Newsom in California? He got the billboard up there. If you need an abortion, call this number or whatever. And then he wants to put a scripture under there talking about the Bible says, you know, to love thy neighbor. And a lot of us who call ourselves Christians, we fall for it. Love thy neighbor. How about love your children? And then most of the time we don't want to hear anything from the Bible, but if it's to gain an advantage, we'll throw them scriptures out there. Love your neighbor. That ain't got nothing to do with loving a neighbor. Al Sharpton up there talking about, you know, Jesus went about healing people and everything, and that's the reason why we need health care. We need universal health care because Jesus went around. I'm like, and people fall for this, for Mr. Al Sharpton. And they invite him to speak in their churches. This guy in Texas, and I'm pretty sure Yahweh seen the video from Seiko Woods. Seiko Woods called this guy in Pastor Anderson in I think it was the Houston area. Called him and said, why'd you invite someone like Al Sharpton to your church? You talk against homosexual marriage. You talk against abortion, but you invited Al Sharpton to your church. You know what? The guy got offended at Seiko. You don't tell me who to bring to my church. This is my church. You don't tell me. I'm offended. And hung up on him. First of all, it's not your church. It's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the main reasons why when these preachers get up here and they go, yeah, oh, I feel it coming in, man. Oh, say hallelujah. I said, say hallelujah. Y'all not hearing me. You know why I'm not impressed by all that preaching and everything? Because a lot of the people who preach like that, they really don't have the Spirit of God in them. Why are you going to invite Al Sharpton to your church? And he's preaching, he supports the very thing you're supposed to be preaching against. You know why? Because you hold your skin color and your civil rights above the gospel. You think the gospel is civil rights, and it's not. So he never opened the Bible, sis. He never opened it one time. Yeah, they can get up there. They have their little cherry-picked scriptures and everything. They get up there and they talk about, you know, this and that and everything. Then the keyboard play, boom, 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 boom. Ooh, I feel the Spirit. Oh, man, I feel it in me. Oh, man, shot up in my bones. You got something shot up in your bones, but I don't think it's the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you that right now. I will tell you that right now. You got something shot up in your bones, all right. Might be some cancer or something, but it ain't the Holy Spirit. And I'm sitting there looking at this, and I'm like, see, this is what gets me. I'm not surprised there, sis. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. I remember some years ago, a church here in Durham invited no other than Louis Farrakhan to preach at their church. The same man whose followers say that the Bible is the white man's religion. Christianity is the white man's religion. And you got a bunch of so-called Christians inviting this man into their church. But he says, your religion, your belief is a white man's religion. And y'all going to invite this man to your church. Farrakhan ain't got nothing to tell me. He can't tell me jack. Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, all these civil rights leaders out here, they can't tell me jack. Because all they do, they go out there and they preach for money. Listen to one pastor. He invited another pastor to speak at his church. And he said, I'm not going to charge you. He said, what? You're not going to charge me? He said, you are the first pastor that we have invited to our church who said he would not charge us to speak. They said they invited Al Sharpton to their church. He charged them $35,000 to speak at their church. And here's the thing that gets me. You still let them preach at your church. I'll be like, you, $35,000. And you know what y'all going to do. Y'all going to try to raise a tithe and an offering to raise that money to let that man speak at your church. Because you don't care about your congregations. You're supposed to be a shepherd to your flock. You're supposed to protect the flock. But you care more about your skin color, your civil rights. That's why I tell people, and you can quote me on this. A lot of black people going to find themselves in an eternally warm climate because they care more about their skin color, their politics, and their civil rights than they do the word of God. Well, folks, I'm going to go to my advertiser. I know some of you all have been on the phones. And I'm going to get back with you all when I finish the advertisements. So just hang on there. You are listening to Black by Color Only on CNM Radio.
Did you know podcast advertising is one of the most effective ways to advertise your product or service? Thousands of people could be hearing your ad here. To start boosting your business with podcast advertising, go now to conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com and send us a copy of the ad you want played, and we will do the rest. Thank you, and God bless. For the past few months, we have not heard from our good friend and mentor, our very own Uncle Bing Fisher, that he has been around, though very busy, starting businesses and trying to get things going where he is. So his show has been put on hiatus for now, but in the coming month or so, we are looking to see him return to CNM as he is about to retire and will give him more time to let us know all the things that he has a good ear for hearing. Bing's mellow voice and his expertise in engineering, along with his love of America, keeps us all informed as to what we should be doing and why the things are happening here in America as they are. The only side that seems to have consequences anymore are the right. The left can do anything they want, then blame it on the right, and always laying the blame where it shouldn't be, and they always get away with it. This has to stop. Listen to our very own Uncle Bing Fisher when American by Design returns soon on Sundays, where America always wins.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. If you would like to be a guest to call in to the show, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. Now, during the break, this is why I do not like people like Pianchi on my show, because they inundate me with so much information. You know, and see, here's the thing about Pianchi. Let me tell you all something about Pianchi. He does his research. He does his study. He doesn't go by what he hears somebody say. Got another guy that comes on here. I don't know if Sarge is going to be on here today, but he does the same thing. And this is what I'm talking about. They're not, and these are black men. Just in case y'all want to know, these are black men. And folks, let me say something too. Because there have been a lot of times I've asked people about what's going on in the world, and they'll ask me, well, where did you hear that? Where did you hear that? And it amazes me when I hear people say that, and it just lets me know that a lot of people get their information from the mainstream news media. And they think, well, I never heard that before. And so they're like, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. But just because you haven't heard it doesn't mean it's not true. And I've told people when I mention stories like Tony Tempa, look it up. Look it up, Tony Tempa. But you know what? They never look it up. They're not going to look it up. I was sharing something with some people about T.D. Jakes, that wolf in Texas. He said his belief system is evolving about homosexuality. They said, we ain't never heard that. Where'd you get that from? I went straight to the video. Showed it to him where he said that. You know what? These people still listen to T.D. Jakes. Still listen to him. Now, you want to talk about a wolf in sheep's clothing? T.D. Jakes. Always singing the praises of Oprah Winfrey. Calls her a Christian. She ain't no Christian. See, people don't know what a Christian really is. That's why I get such a bad rap, because people really don't know what Christianity is. You got some people say, oh, that's a good person. That means he's a Christian. Or they'll demonize Christianity, say it's the white man's religion and everything. They don't know what a Christian really is. And I've been doing this walk for nearly 36 years. And when I hear people talk about, oh, Christians this and Christian that, the white Christians and all that and everything, look, the only difference between a white Christian and a black Christian is skin color. That's it. There's no distinction between them. But it amazes me how ignorant and uninformed people who call themselves Christians are. They get on the computer and whatever, but they never think, hey, let me check this out. Let me check out what I've been hearing. And see, a lot of times I get caught off guard by these people because I get my information from a lot of sources. And sometimes it's so many sources, you can't really name just one, you know. American Thinker, Epic Times, Gateway Pundit, One News Now, One American News. All you all have to do is go there and check it out. But I don't know what it is. Some people, I guess they're afraid of learning something new or something. And when you tell people, this is where I'm getting my information, they're like, oh, okay. But they never check it out themselves. And some people just downright tell you, I'm not going over there because that's a conservative site. But yet and still, you want me to listen to the liberal sites that you support. Now, I'm going to get information from both sides. Some people raise an eyebrow at me because I got a book in my Kindle right now that I'm going to do, you know, I'll probably do a podcast on it called White Fragility. White Fragility. I'm going to get that book by Ibrahim X. Kendi, How to Be a Anti-Racist. And I know people going to raise their eyebrows at me. But see, I want to get information from both sources. When I read a book by Ibrahim X. Kendi, I'm not looking to some insight and, you know, oh, wow, that's deep. Yeah, I'll read it for information. But I am so confident in what I believe. There's nothing that these rascals can put in a book that's going to get me to turn on my beliefs. And I already know just because it's in a book doesn't mean that it is the truth. But I tell people, and some people, they're too intellectually lazy. They're not going to look up a lot of this information. And see, a lot of this information, I really don't have to give you a link or anything to it. All you have to do is say, oh, wait a minute, Tony Tempa? Okay, let me put that up. Boom. But people are not going to do it. They'll just go out their busy lives, watch football, eat crackers, but they won't look into it. And it's almost like you have to keep repeating the same thing to the same people. Where you get this information from? I told you before where I get the information from. Won't you write it down? Check it out. I'm not sitting here, you know, just bloviating. I'm not just sitting here just, you know, throwing something out there, something I heard. I got an extensive library of books that I read. I got an audiobook subscription. I got a Kindle subscription. And I got actual printed pages. So this is not just something that I heard, you know, Fox News and all that crazy mess. Folks, let me tell you, my point of view was formed in the late 80s. Long before Fox News came on the scene. Long before I started listening to Rush Limbaugh. Long before I started listening to Sean Hannity. So don't sit there and say, oh, this is the reason why you think the way you do, because that's where you're getting your information from. See, some of you all, y'all just getting into the battle. I've been at this thing since the 80s. Not long after I got born again. And we'll listen to, you know, Candace Owens and stuff like that. Candace Owens voted for Barack Obama 2 times. I'm not saying you shouldn't listen to Candace Owens, but my belief system has been set in me since the late 80s. I was against abortion in the late 80s. I was against homosexual marriage in the late 80s. So this ain't just something that, you know, oh, I'm just channel surfing as Fox News. Oh, wait a minute. What does Fox News say? Oh, I think I'm going to believe Fox News. No. That's not how it happened. But a lot of you all think that's how it happens. Go on with your gaslighting. It's crazy. This is crazy mess, people. I'm looking at Pianki. He said, now me, and since we speaking about blacks, I don't care if black female kill all their babies in the womb, every last one. I just want the laws to be followed in the country state they are residing in. Of course, they can travel. Let's see. This brings us to Cornell University, Black Students United, and whether the organization is engaging in racism against blacks. The BSU complains that the prestigious Ivy League school admits too many blacks from Africa and the Caribbean. We demand that Cornell admissions come up with a plan to actively increase the presence of underrepresented black students on this campus. The BSU student group said in its demands. We define underrepresented black students as black Americans who have several generations, more than two in this country. Okay. Pianki is overloading me with the information right now. But see, that's good though. He's giving sources. But some of us ain't even gonna look at it. We're not gonna look at it. We'll just say, oh, okay, there's a link, and then we'll just go on about our busy days. We'll just go on our busy days. Pianki, are you telling me that I need to release the fruit bats? Well, that's the fruit bat alert. That's my fruit bat alert. And that is a warning that serves as a warning to those of you all who are on the phones. If you're coming in here to disrupt this show in any way, excessive profanity, ad hominem attacks, character assassinations, things of that sort, you best hang up now because I will be happy to oblige you. Okay. And like I said before, I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Come in here and let's have a decent conversation. Now, having said all that, let me go to the phones. And I think this is Pianki with his hand raised right now.
Okay, now look, put the knives in. No, put your claws down. He's here now. You can go up, go on, fly. Go ahead.
Man, you don't know. My life been in peril all week long since you wasn't on last week. These fruit blasts have went plumb crazy. Flying around in circles, man. I didn't know whether to run or hide.
You're like vultures, man.
And they just left out and didn't even close the damn door. Letting flies in now. So, Vincent, you got to do something where you and your technicalities are getting in line because you missing these Saturdays. These bats just going plumb local over here. But on the subject
matter. My laser-guided fruit bat system.
Yeah, you really do. But on the subject, man, with these. Now, see, here's the thing, like I told you in the chat room. And since we're talking about black folks, I don't care if black women abort every baby they carry in their womb. That's their business. All I want is the law to be followed. And the law is not saying in the state that you can't have an abortion. It just regulates the time.
Yeah.
And as I have sent you before, information that was put out by Warnack in Georgia. And I'll email it to you again, but I emailed you that, a big flyer, poster that he put out. He's for abortion through the ninth month. Read it.
Yep.
Through the ninth month. He's for making proprietors go against their religious convictions. Like making a wedding cake showing the depiction characters of same sex on top. Well, if a proprietor, if that's going against their religious conviction, why you want to force them to do that? That's the tactics of them damn Democrats. They want to force you by federal law to do something, and the laws is usually generally unconstitutional, and they know it, but they know that you're not going to challenge it.
Yep.
The same way that Roe versus Wade came about. They knew that it was illegal. Same-sex marriage by the courts. They knew that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what the Constitution states. That's left up to the countries, quote-unquote, the states. They can regulate that however they want to. Just as if you were to go to France, if you were to go to Argentina, if you were to go to Costa Rica, if you were to go to Italy, they got laws that regulate things.
Yep.
And as Obama tried to do when he was president, going to African countries, Liberia, Zambia, Nigeria, Kenya, and saying that you need to open up your abortion laws to abortion on demand and same-sex marriage. Those presidents like Sharif in Liberia and Kenyatta in Kenya basically told him to go to hell or come here with that mess. Hillary Clinton tried to do the same thing with Zambia using what she called soft power. You know what soft power is? Soft power is when I agree to give you aid, but you got to agree to compromise on my point.
Yeah.
If you want the aid, quote unquote, the carrot, then you need to do this. That's bribery. Where else do we see that most recently? Did not Jim Crow Biden do that with the Ukraine and the Ukraine prosecutor over a $1 billion check? If you don't fire the prosecutor who's investigating my son Hunter, you don't get the check. Is that not the same type of soft power bribery?
And then all of a sudden, the prosecutor, he got fired.
You got 5 hours to do what he said. I'm leaving. You see what I'm talking about? They are no good.
Yep.
Now, not all of them. Because it's very, very few Democratic policies. And that's what I go by, the policy, not the color of the skin, not the party. It's the policy. If the policy is per my interest, then I can go with it. But it just so happened that most of the interest that I have is coming out of the Republican Party. But even within their bunch, you got some lousy bastards, too, that ain't worth a dime.
Yeah.
When they're in power, they just let it happen.
Exactly.
That there is a problem. And talking about abortion, blacks, you hear this coming from black groups. Ain't all blacks. Oh, yeah, whites are this way and that way because they know that they are not producing. Their birth rate is down. Okay. Oh, yeah, white supremacy. Okay. Well, hell, looking at the number of abortions that you've had since Roe versus Wade in the states, Mississippi, Georgia, Louisiana, South Carolina, Alabama, North Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee, Florida, Maryland, Texas, District of Columbia, which is not a state, Arkansas, Kentucky, Delaware. Hell, with just the number of abortions up until 2019, from when the illegal decision was cast by the Supreme Court, all and each and every black person in those states would disappear. I mean, think about it.
And I'm looking at the stats right now. Look at that. My goodness.
They would be gone.
Yep.
It wouldn't be no blacks in those states. Now, guess what? Ain't nobody going to complain about you having no abortion. You think if these people are all the racists and white supremacists that they are, and you got some black racists and white supremacists that hate you too, you think they're going to try to stop you from having an abortion? Now I understand they got traveling vans that pull up right in front of your door. You can come out to the curb and get in. Oh, how convenient is that?
I mean, for
they ain't going to try to stop you from having a boy. Did you play the audio clip that I gave you?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Oh, man. You should have played that. You should have played that one, dude, because it tells a story. It tells a story about the underhandedness of not only the organization. You mind if I play it real quick? Huh?
Oh,
it's only about.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Here we go. Look, Vincent. Hang on.
I'm interested in making a donation today.
Fantastic.
What about abortions or
privilege?
I want to specify that abortion to help a minority group. Would that be possible? Or like the black community, for example?
Certainly.
Okay. So the abortion could be, you know, I could give money specifically for a black baby. That would be the purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. If you wanted to designate that you wanted your gift to be used to help an African-American woman in need, then we would certainly make sure that gift was earmarked specifically for that purpose.
Great, because I really face trouble with affirmative action, and I don't want my kids being disadvantaged, you know, against black kids. I just had a baby. I want to put in his name, you know.
Absolutely.
So that's definitely possible.
Oh, always.
And we just think, you know, the less black kids out there, the better.
Understandable. All right. Excuse my hesitation. I'm this this is the first time I've had a donor call and make this kind of request, so I'm excited, and I want to make sure I don't leave anything out. Hello, this is Irene.
Hi, I'm interested in making a donation. I'd like to fund one abortion.
Okay.
I was wondering if that would be possible.
Yes, we can definitely put that.
Can I make a donation specifically for a minority group?
Like a specific group of color? Like a group of...
I mean, like, I want the abortion to be for an African-American baby.
Okay.
And I was wondering if that could be possible.
The exact amount we charge right now is $450 for an abortion.
Okay,
$450. Mhm. And we can definitely designate it for an African American.
Wonderful.
My goodness, Vincent.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that. Yes. Ooh-wee. I have heard that. Yes.
Isn't that something?
I mean, really.
And see, the thing is, it's not the intent of the person who's making the charitable, generous donation, is the openly and readily acceptance by Planned Parenthood. Oh, yes. Yep. We can make it apply to the destruction, the killing, the murdering of a black baby in the womb.
Mm-hmm. Keep on, keep,
so
keep
who's
on
the fool?
Sticking your heads in the sand, people. Keep on sticking your heads in the sand. And when I get up here and I start talking about things like the Negro Project, a lot of you all, y'all hear it, it just goes over your head. I'm telling y'all need to look into this. Y'all always talking about some injustice done against black people. Well, how come y'all don't talk about the injustice against black people through the Negro Project? You know, see we talk about this all the time. We give you all the information. Y'all don't even check it out.
And
y'all
by the way,
sit here and talk about Black Lives
the
Matter.
Negro Project. You know who that was architected by, don't you? It wasn't
Margaret Sanger.
No.
The black churches. And the black churches.
No. It was architected by Clarence Gamble of Procter and Gamble.
Oh, really?
Yes, it was. It just so happened.
Procter and Gamble products.
It just so happened that Margaret Sanger found an ally. But like I said before, today, I don't care. If black women want to abort their babies, it's their baby, their body, their choice. All I ask is that the laws be followed. And Joe Biden talking about codifying abortion is against the Constitution because he's overreaching. That's the power of the state. Matter of fact, it's the state, Joe Biden, that gives you your power. And I'm going to a meeting this coming Wednesday where you got some people representing a issue by the state to reel in that federal government using the power granted to them by Article 5 of the U.S. Constitution. That there is the holy grail of this nation. Now, people can have their connotations and their convictions, but it's the holy grail that permits you to have them and not to have them be trespassed on by other entities like the heads of human resources who say, I do not think that you are sincere in your convictions, therefore we will not recognize your convictions against having a shot. That's unconstitutional.
And my thing, the reason why I'm so adamant against abortion is because it takes an innocent human life, you know, and a lot of women who have an abortion, they don't have that choice. They don't make the choice. You know, that 10-year-old that they were talking about a few months ago, she didn't have a choice. Her parents were like, nah, you getting this abortion, you know.
Well,
and,
I tell you what, nobody's making them go there. And like Warnock, he's for defunding the police. He supports that.
Yeah.
He's for expansive gun control. He supports that. He's for abortion without restrictions. In other words, government must allow abortion without restriction throughout 9 months of pregnancy. That's like the day before they're going to give birth. He supports that. He support raising taxes. He support males and female sports. He's a strong advocate of Planned Parenthood. He supported expansive climate change regulations. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And he also against one of our greatest allies over in the area that was once called Asia Minor, now called the Middle East. He supports preventing Israel expansion, like putting the capital, the embassy of the U.S. there in Jerusalem. That's the capital. That's where you usually put the embassy, right?
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, that's, I always thought it was there, to be honest with you. But then again, this guy calls himself a Christian preacher. Calls himself a Christian preacher.
And
all this stuff, and he calls himself a Christian preacher.
And wait a minute, then they're gonna make issue. I'm talking about the media and the other leftists and progressives. They're gonna make issue with this deal with Herschel Walker.
Yeah,
Herschel Walker wrote many checks to people that's in need. Bojangles, Bill Robinson, Bojangles wrote many checks for people in need. Bought them houses. Elvis Presley bought black women cars and homes. Herschel Walker wrote a check, and now they're saying that he wrote a check for his girlfriend to have an abortion. Well, how do you know he wrote it? Have you seen the check who it was made out to? I mean, if I wrote a check for Vincent to pay his light bill, I would have on the pay in the command of the light company.
Mm-hmm. And while we're on the Herschel Walker, what do you think about that deal? Because really, in a way, I think Herschel Walker, I don't know. I don't know what to think, because when the media comes out and they say something, I take it with a grain of salt.
I don't believe it. I'm talking with Herschel Walker, it's the issues that I'm concerned with. Because you can't get no lousier than Marion Barry, a crack addict that came out of prison, was elected again.
Exactly. Yep.
See, I lived through all these things. That's why I can speak so eloquently and accurately on them. And it's just a crying shame. You mean to tell me they paying Al Sharpton $35,000 to preach on a Sunday at a church?
Yep. He demanded it.
The people at that church, when time comes for them to renew their tax-exempt status, there's a period allowed for public comment, and the people should come forth and say, hell no, don't renew it. Do not renew it, because they are not using the money as it should be. That $35,000 could have went for helping people to pay their light bills who's laid off from work, especially those that's laid off from work because of the ratchet policies, these ratchet pandemic policies of the Democratic Party.
Yep.
Like those that lost their job when he closed down pipelines. Those that's losing their job because Democratic liberal restrictions on what they call federal land preventing them from exploring and extracting natural resources of that state. Let me tell you something. The federal government has no authority by the Constitution to have what we call federal land. And people in the state should demand from their state legislature to tell them to go to hell. This is not your land. This land belongs to this country, i.e. state. And we do with it how we see that we need to do with it, for the betterment of our people.
Yeah. And you did you hear about, of course, OPEC is cutting down on its production of oil by 2 million barrels a day. And now Joe Biden is starting to say, maybe we need to drill for oil here in the United States.
Oh, bull crap.
Like, well,
you know what happened there? Let me tell you what happened
there. That is so smart.
Remember how the OPEC nations and certain elements was donating to the Clinton Foundation?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And when she lost, what did they do? Mm-mm. They pulled their donations. So if the donation was for a good cause, if the donation was for a good cause, it seemingly that it was based on her being elected. So what would her being elected has to do with the generosity that they was bestowing upon her foundation? I can tell you what it was. It was going to be perks. That's what it's going to be. When they raise the price of oil, that means people are paying more. They are getting more. Then they can take that more and contribute to these foundations, the Barack Obama Foundation, the Clinton Foundation. They can also contribute to candidacies, like Soros is contributing to Stacey Abrams and also Cori Bush. Go on Ballotpedia and pull up Abrams. It lists the donators and see what name stands out there predominantly more than any other. I mean, I dare you. Ballotpedia. Or go to votesmart.org. It tells the same information. And then look at her supportive issues of the past, going back to the early years of hers, and see if those are sort of things that you would like to support a candidate who supports such something that goes against not only your morals, but also would go against your good common sense, your interests.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Let me get this other caller on here, because they've been here for a while, too. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Man, let me just tell you something. I just saw on Facebook where this dumb California guy, he's for abortion. And I'm with you, Vincent, that we need to be all the way against abortion. If all the aborted black babies, for example, were not aborted, we probably would have, what, another 5 million blacks in this country, maybe more. And let me tell you about, what's his name, Herschel Walker? Let me tell you something. If the truth be told, we all have skeletons in our closet. Some are larger than others. But they need to leave the man alone. He's done a lot of good things. Let's say the average person, they do 10 things, 9 good and 1 bad. Everybody's going to hop on the 1 bad thing. But they don't talk about the 9 great things or good things that the people did. And Joe Biden, he was in trouble anyway because why did he cut the gas lines when he was, when he first got in the presidency? And then gas going up. And now, yeah, I've heard about the Middle East cut production. And now I'm looking at the gas was finally coming down to half some cents. Now, what, 2 months from now probably, by Christmas, probably by Thanksgiving, it's going to be, what, 25 cents or more a gallon. And I saw a guy with a big truck. And man, I only want to tell you how much he was paying, and he wasn't even filled up. He's talking about $80-some, and that was like, what, about a month and a half ago when gas prices, everything was over $4 a gallon. You know, we need to stop this. We really do. And how you doing, Fruit Bat number one? I haven't been on the show in a few weeks, but I'm letting you know Mr. Harris is on here now.
Yeah, Vincent, that one right there was one of the keeping up the most noise because he couldn't get to your show last week. I thought I was going to have to sedate him.
Well, let me tell you something. What do you think your elders are, okay?
I don't know. I don't know who's the older between the two of you, Pianchi or Iredale, because both of y'all are in your 60s, ain't you?
How old are you, young man?
He ain't gonna tell you. He ain't gonna tell you.
Boy, that's why come I like you, Irondale.
Yeah.
Yeah. You be using some of them old school tactics.
He ain't gonna tell you.
No, I'm giving you a case. No, I'm giving you a case of iridelitis. And they can tell you about iridelitis. You don't want to deal with that. Okay, sir? So I still love you, man, wherever you at, Louisiana, Missouri, or wherever you at, but respect your elders, okay, sir? But since you told me I had another birthday back 3 weeks ago, and I'm ready, froggy, and ready to leap into anybody's case if I need you. Good show, by the way, so far, though. Good show so much.
I appreciate it. Well, I can tell you all a week from tomorrow, I'll be 54 years old.
Shit, you just a kid, man.
Okay, well,
I got a t-shirt that says I'm not 54, I'm just 18 with 36 years of experience.
I like that. And for this young man who wants to tell us his age, I turned 66, sir, exactly 3 weeks ago. Okay.
Well, let me tell you something. You a kid too.
Well,
I can tell you Pianki sounds younger than I do. You know, he to me he does. You know, and to be up there in age and have that sharp of mind, that really speaks volumes right there. Him and Sarge and Iredale and all, for y'all to have such a sharp mind at your ages, it's a testament. It really is.
And I'm trying to keep my mind sharp, and one of the ways I keep my mind sharp is working out. I have to have sharp minds around folks like this other man on this show, man. He claims to be called Fruit Bat Number One. Of course, you, Mr. Benson. You know what I'm saying? Got to stay sharp. I'm raising sharp, man. But, you know, whether you're younger than me or older than me, respect your elders or respect your youngsters. So either way you go, you're going to lose a meet, sir. But I'm still glad to hear you. Still pumping information.
Well, I'm glad to hear you too, sir.
Okay.
Hey, sweetie, I'm on the program.
Okay, I was about to say if you can hold it file back.
Oh, okay.
That was going on.
You know, yeah.
But he can't get out. I open the cage.
I'm coming. I'm about to do another.
Okay. Give me a sec.
Tell them to just kick the cage, the door open.
Hey, man.
Yeah, that's my wife. She, I don't know.
No, I thought that was Sarge.
Oh, no, I wish it was, but Sarge is not here. He probably got mad at me because I didn't have a show last week.
But I got some more things to talk about.
Okay.
Here we go.
And you got these idiots out here that's complaining to Kanye West.
Oh, yeah.
And just like it is with them complaining with Herschel Walker, talking about, they saying Kanye West, if he's so supportive of black babies, why come he didn't have any? His babies are against this. Now, get this. Biracial. Well, hell,
yeah.
I thought that these leftists claim anything, especially the black activists in that, anything that's not lily white, they claim as black.
Yeah, exactly.
You follow me?
Yeah.
They come up with all these different new definitions, new words, and new angles. As far as I understand, anything that is not lily white is black. And I just asked the question. I say, well, if that's the case, what is Derek Jeter?
Exactly.
What is Alicia Keys?
Yep.
You don't hear nothing from them.
Yeah, but you notice they'll come up with these terms when it's someone that they don't like.
Absolutely. You know?
Yeah, they only come up with that rhetoric when it's somebody they don't like, you know, and everything. And
then they say if the father was black, the child is black, no matter what the mom is. I said, well, if that's the case, what about Barack Obama? Look at him.
Mm,
and then, like I made a statement, look at their, you know, and also Barack Obama's father was Muslim in their culture. The child is Muslim.
Yeah.
I ain't never heard him denounce his Muslimness.
Yeah.
So these people are, and it really ain't, it's not them. And I tell you, I hope to see this stuff die out and just go fade away. But they out attacking your kids, man. That is what it is. They need to get your kids. Because if they don't get the kids, they cannot produce kids. They want to get yours and put yours in that mode of thinking to support their ideology into the future.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, I don't know what – I really don't know what to think about that stunt that he and Candace Owens pulled with the White Lives Matter shirts on it. My thing is this, you know, we got all upset about – you know, white people coming against the black mermaid, but here it is: these people wearing White Lives Matter shirts, and now the very same people who were upset at the white folks for being upset at a black mermaid, now they got something to say about this. Me, I don't care what you do. I really don't. You know, White Lives Matter, Black Lives, and it's just like Candace Owens said, that should already be implied. We don't need to wear Black Lives Matter and White Lives Matter shirts and everything and stuff like that. But when people do that, when they pull stuff like that, I don't care. I really don't. White Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter, Asian Lives, I don't care. Because my mentality is all lives matter. That's my mentality. You know, so.
Well, mine is too. But if white people want to wear, any white person, any black person really, want to wear a shirt that advertise on the back, White Lives Matter or Yellow Lives Matter, that's up to them. That's their free expression.
Of
speech. It's nothing wrong with it. And I'm going to show you a person wearing T-shirts out in public. And you comment on it. But, you know, another thing, too. I sent you an article in a YouTube speech on Fannie Lou Hamer. That is my lady.
Yeah.
The one
the
that she...
They take it like she's their hero.
Oh, yeah. You know, she made the speech, and I'm going to play the speech before we get off of here, so that you can hear it. Matter of fact, I think I'll do it right now, because that woman, I really sure do appreciate her. The woman had so much passion in her, in the way she delivered. I want you to listen to this. Here we go.
Enduring intractable racism,
here we go.
Even forced sterilization. Never stopped working for
people. They took off on that one.
This is the tragic real-life story of Fannie Lou Hamer.
And let me see if I can find the yellow. Just keep on talking.
Well, the Democrats, they say Fannie Lou Hamer is the reason why the racists left the Democrat Party and they went and congregated in the Republican Party. They say she was the one responsible for that. And I'm like, how is that? Why in the world are you going to leave a party that supports your point of view to go and congregate in a party that doesn't support your point of view? It doesn't make any sense. But they take her to be the hero. She was the one that got rid of the racism in the Democrat Party. And now the Republicans are the racists now.
I want you to listen to this. I want the people to listen to what she was saying. Just listen to this, man. Just listen to it.
How long is the clip?
And to the Credentials Committee. It was the 31st of August in 1962 that 18 of us traveled 26 miles to the county courthouse in Indianola and tried to register to become first-class citizens. He was met in Indianola by policemen.
The president, Lyndon Johnson, he's not afraid of Martin Luther King's testimony. He's afraid of Fannie Lou Hamer's testimony. And so he decides that the country should not see her testify live.
Johnson is in the White House, and he convened an impromptu press conference.
We will return to this scene in Atlantic City, but now we switch to the White House and NBC's Robert Gorelsky.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
On this day, 9 months ago,
he did it knowing that they would break away, thinking he might announce who his choice of vice president was going to be. Instead, he gets up there and he announces, get this, he announces that it's 9 months to the day since Governor Connally, who was there, was shot along with President Kennedy. So he announced a 9-month anniversary. Everybody's scratching their heads.
Thank you very much.
And then he leaves. And by that time, Fannie Lou Hamer's testimony was over.
You see how doggish they are, man? Evil? You still there, Vincent?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You see what Johnson done? He called a damn press conference to pull the cameras off of her. To pull the cameras off of her speech.
Yeah, yeah.
And talking about the 9-month anniversary of when Kennedy got killed.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of stuff that I'll be talking about. They don't want you to hear it. That's why they don't let conservative blacks get on the Congressional Black Caucus. And that's why they don't allow whites on there who represent majority black districts. The biggest races in this country have black skin. They just as racist as anybody else. And people are going to say, oh, that ain't true. And they're going to make that statement based on what they've been taught. But I tell you what, debate me on it. Because I can match you for every point you put out there to show that that's not true. I can show you 2 points to show that it is. That is, if you use the ideology that racism is an act, not skin color, but at least an act that can be portrayed by any skin color.
Yep.
Anyway, go ahead.
We've been brainwashed into thinking that black people can't be racist, and that all of our we've been brainwashed into thinking that black people can't be racist, and that all of the problems in the black race has to do with white supremacy and everything. And I'm so sick and tired of hearing about white supremacy. When we can go back in history and look at the mindset of a person like a Lyndon Baines Johnson, you know, and find out that this man was not a friend of black people. He didn't like Fannie Lou Hamer. He did not like her, you know.
That's right. And we're not saying that whites didn't do some evil things, but whites not only done some evil things, they've done some stupid things.
Yeah, exactly. Just like anybody.
Stupid things.
Yeah, just like any
like
other race
she
does,
experienced.
You know. Yeah.
Now, you know what? If anybody deserves some reparation, this woman does for what they've done to her.
Yeah.
She deserves reparation from the state of Mississippi because she was involved with state highway patrol and state officials. And she wasn't trying to vote because they already had the right to vote. They were not being allowed to register. You have to be registered before you can vote. And the passion in her voice, oh, my goodness, the passion. Let me play a little bit more. We got a little time.
Yeah.
My name is Mrs. Fannie Lou Hamer, and I live at 626 East Lafayette Street, Louisville, Mississippi.
from Clark County, the home of Senator James O. Easton and Senator Stennis. It was the 31st of August in 1962 that 18 of us traveled 26 miles to the county courthouse in Indianola to try to register to become first-class citizens. We was met in Indianola by policemen, highway patrolmen, and they only allowed two of us in to take the literacy test at the time. After we had taken this test and started back to Roosevelt, we were held up by the city police and the state highway patrol and carried back to Indianola, where the bus driver was charged that day with driving a bus the wrong color. After we paid the fine among us, we continued on to Roosevelt, and Reverend Jeff Sonny carried me 4 miles in the rural area where I had worked as a timekeeper and sharecropper for 18 years. I was met there by my children who told me the plantation owner was angry because I had gone down, tried to register. After they told me, my husband came and said the plantation owner was raising.
All right, I'll cut that right there because you're about out of time. But that woman deserved reparations. Mm-hmm. They deserve reparations because of what the state done to her. And I really, I admire her. She's a courageous person. And she has so much passion in her voice. Mm-hmm. So much. And she gave her address. She gave her address, said, this is where I live. Yep. See, here's the thing. Just like Fannie Lou Hamer, and just like all throughout the history, just like John the Baptist said, I baptize you in the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, with water. I baptize you in water, but another would come after me that would baptize you in the Holy Spirit. See, faith bid. Every so often, somebody comes with those sorts of messages to people who just don't know what else to do. And then they are gone.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point.
But anyway, I'm going to get off of here and let you and finish your show.
Okay. I appreciate you, Pianchi. And, I want to pose a question. Someone posed this question in my chat room. She's asking, are you saying what Candace, folks are saying what Candace and Kanye did further divided black people? And she's asking me what, you know, she says, what say you?
You know,
and
I
like I said, I don't know what to think about it. I really don't.
I can give you an answer to that. See, here's the answer about further dividing black people. All black people are not the same. And they're not going to go for that side that's staunchly liberal, whose interest is opposite of the opposite ones, the conservatives. They're not going to go with that because it's not to the best interest of them, their family, and children. I mean, think about it. No ethnic group does that. Nigerians, who don't complain whatsoever, are the highest academic, have the highest family income. You don't hear them complaining.
No.
And they don't move in the hood, and they don't send their kids to those urban schools.
That's right.
And they skin is just as black as Wesley Snipes, if not darker. So
you.
That there should make people wonder, what is going on?
Yeah.
And even in their own country where 99% of the people have the same skin color, they are different.
That's right.
And the difference is indicated by what, Vincent? In many cases at a time, by tribal marks on their face. They put that tribal mark on their child when he's born. So all blacks in the United States are not the same. all blacks in the United States, just because you got a black store, but you got a support Maxine Waters poster in the one, they ain't shopping at your store because Maxine
yeah.
Waters goes against their interest from every
exactly.
level.
Exactly. Yeah.
Think.
I mean, for real.
That's probably why things don't go no place, because you're making one step forward and two steps backwards.
Yep.
And you do something and just sit back and wait for a reaction. No, they should have the marching orders before you do it being vote for them. And then if they don't perform like they supposed to from the marching orders that you gave them, you call them back to the damn carpet and get rid of their asses. That's what you do, but you don't do that.
Yeah.
You stick with them. By and by.
I appreciate that. I really do. I appreciate that. Well, we're coming down to a minute left in the program. I want to thank Iredale and Pianchi for coming on the program. And folks, my plea is that you all really consider what I say on this program. I don't just say this just so that you can hear me talk or whatever. Just check out what I'm saying, you know. And too many of us, we'll listen to someone like myself talk, and then we just don't go and confirm, you know, what we said, you know, with research and study. You know, we just, you know, it just goes over our heads, and we're like, we don't know, you know. And then next time you know, we're sitting here trying to answer the same question. Well, how do you know? How do you know? Well, do you research? Do you study? You know, just look it up. But anyway, next Saturday, I will not be doing a program. I got something come up next Saturday. I should have said this at the beginning, but I won't be having a program next Saturday because I got something to take care of next week. And it's not because it's my birthday next week. It's not because of that. But, you know, next Saturday and probably the Saturday after that, I probably won't have a show either. And that's the Saturday after next, that's tentative. You know, that's a wait and see type of thing. But anyway, God willing, see you guys again the next time. You all take care of yourselves. This is Vincent E. Brown. I'm signing off. Until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound. Y'all have a great Saturday.